Laguna Beach. Member supported KX93.5.
Hey now, this is Ed Stasium coming to you from Laguna Beach on KX93.5, Laguna's local and non-profit independent Laguna Beach station that is community-minded and always broadcast in free form. Yes, indeed. We're doing a fundraiser. You can call into the show at 9499. I'm gonna do that again. I don't do this often, so I'm going to screw up a lot. Yes, you can call into the show at 949-715-5936. We just heard a great band called the Skull Snaps, and I recorded that particular record in Somerville, New Jersey, in the summer of 1972. Little did I know where it would go. That intro, the little drum thingy, has been used on apparently hundreds and hundreds of early hip-hop songs, one of the beats that they used. I was living in Los Angeles and somebody tracked me down in the early 90s and says, Ed, you recorded the drums on that. You recorded that band, The Skull Snaps, and you recorded that song, It's a New Day. And I went, yeah? And he says, well, guess what? It's been used on hundreds of songs. I had no clue. And somehow this guy tracked me down and was writing a book about early hip-hop. So there you go.
Yeah, I'll turn my own mic on.
Oh, hi, Jason.
How about that?
Good to hear you.
Jason Fetty here.
Good to see you.
Good friend of Ed's. And Ed's too humble to tell you how he's worked on so many, 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 many hundreds, perhaps thousands of incredible records, many of which you will know about. He's worked with Mick Jagger and Talking Heads, and most famously, virtually every Ramones album that was ever made. And he's too humble to tell you, but I'm telling you.
Thank you.
Yeah. When a track gets played like that, gets used in a hip-hop track, does anybody see any money?
I don't know. I certainly didn't see any money. As a matter of fact, when I recorded that, I was collecting unemployment and working as for nothing because I loved it so much. I was working for this fellow, Tony Camello. I had just quit working for Ampeg, the amplifier company in Linden, New Jersey. Well, actually, I didn't quit. I got fired for being late all the time because I was in a band and I was playing at night. And getting into the office at 8 o'clock in the morning was not very pleasant. And I was living in my parents' basement, and a friend of mine turned me on to this cat, Tony Camello, who was building a studio in his home. So I was basically collecting unemployment, recording the Skull Snaps. Yeah. They may have seen some money eventually from that. I don't know. They would have to. I have no idea.
Yeah, well, you know, that's what, you know, somebody comes up and says, oh, I heard your track on blah, blah, blah. Uh-huh. You know, that and 10 cents will get you downtown on the train. But, and you've got to have money to sue. So very difficult for artists when they get caught in that little trap.
This is true.
What do you got next for us, man?
We're going to do another track from the Tony Camello Venture Sound Days. Another one recorded in 72 and went on to be a number one song and went on to win a Grammy for Best R&B Duo or Group that for the year 1972. For 1973, it's by Gladys Knight and the Pips. This was recorded in a basement in Somerville, New Jersey. I recorded the vocals in Detroit. Of course, I didn't have any clue of what I was doing. It was Gladys wanted to do her vocal. We had done the track in New Jersey. Gladys wanted to do the vocal. Says, okay, I want to do my vocal now. And at that time, I was used to going out and having the artist sing a few rundowns, as we would call them, to get a level, but not with Gladys. She just wanted to go sing. So I basically guessed at the level going onto the tape. It was tape. We had tape back then, 16 track. And she did the vocal in one take. Boom, there it was. I'm going to go sing it now. She sang it, and the rest is history. Boom. Bada bada boom boom. All righty, hit it.
Going back to find a simpler place and time. Take that ride. Mrs. Pitbull.
Gladys Knight and the Pips on Kegs 93.5. You just heard Ed say Mrs. Pickles because Mrs. Pickles is here, and Ed's very familiar with Mrs. Pickles. Ed Staseman and I have done records together and a lot of recording together, and Mrs. Pickles always would come down to his house in San Diego and hang out.
She's giving me kisses.
Of course she is. She's not seen her Uncle Eddie for such a long time.
Mrs. Pickles.
Hi, Mrs. Pickles.
Oh, so sweet. I love her.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. This is Ed Stasium, recording engineer, producer, guy, and I'm taking over the airwaves here at KX93.5 FM, and you can make a tax-deductible donation to KX93.5 on my behalf in two ways. Please call now at 949-715-5936. We'll take your pledge on the air, and maybe you can even call up and talk to Eddie and Mrs. Pickles.
And Mrs. Pickles wants to have a quick word with the people, yeah, although she's going to be a bit interested. I just handed Ed a bag of is that your phone ringing?
That's my phone. I'm sorry.
Oh God, I thought I'd put a record on for a second there by accident.
Yeah, and also you can make a donation online where all my friends should be listening right now. All my Facebook friends, all three of them. You can go to KX935.com. KXD Takeover, and choose your pleasure amount and select my name. You could also call the office here. Don't forget, 949-715-4859.
So, yeah, Ed Stasium is the guy that recorded Midnight Train to Georgia. Can you credit that? To me, that's just one of those. I'll take one of those, that song to my grave with me. Just adore it. And the next thing up is another one of those songs for me anyway. You want to talk about this track?
Yes, we're going to jump ahead a few years. So, several years. Bless you, darling.
It's all right.
Yes. To New York City, 1977, the summer of 1977. A little studio called Sundragon on 20th Street. I worked with a little band that was playing at CBGB's that Seymour Stein signed. And they're called Talking Heads. One of my favorite tracks off that particular record is called Psycho Killer. Qu'est-ce que c'est?
Seymour Stein signed is not an easy thing to say.
I didn't get that at all. No. Seymour signed Stein.
Run, 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 run away.
Testing 129.
Yeah, you're there. You're online. You're on
the air. Oh, lovely. There. Yes. Yeah. Yes, the old CBGB's days. It was some scene. Yes, indeed. It was crazy. It was a lot of fun and recording several bands back then. And the summer of 77, 78, working with another band called the Ramones, which we'll hear a track from in a minute. But first, we are also going to have a little reminder that you can call in now at 949-715-5936. Take a nice pledge. Go online to kx935.com at the KXT Takeover. Choose your pledge amount, select my name, and help us out here at Laguna's fabulous, great, fantastic radio station, nonprofit. Every city should have a station like this. Freeform, just like the old days. The DJs play whatever they want to. They give a lot of community service, a lot of community service information. Let's go a little further to the summer of 78 when we recorded a little ditty by a band called The Ramones. And I Want to Be Sedated.
It's the Ramones on KX93.5. I Want to Be Sedated. I'm sitting here with the man that recorded that very song. His name is Ed Stasium, and he's here with me in the studio for KX Takeover. Do call 949-715-5936. Where you're not going to hear this kind of thing anywhere else in the world, because Ed Stasium doesn't like to do radio, do you, Ed?
Oh, I'm so shy. I can't do it. I'm terrible.
He doesn't give interviews.
I don't. I don't interview well.
Come on now.
I wix my merds up.
Tell us about the recording of that song.
That was done, we did that at Media Sound in New York City, which is a great, great studio, which of course does not exist anymore. It's kind of a coincidence that one of the first demos that I did when I was in a young band back in the day, I recorded at Media Sound with a young engineer named Bob Margoloff. I was in a band called Brandywine, and we got a deal somehow with Richie Havens, the late, great folk singer who opened up at Woodstock, who was the opening act at Woodstock. He had a record label called Stormy Forest. And we got a little production deal with that record company.
We went into Media Sound in November of 1969 when it was a 12-track recording studio. There was a brief period in time between 8-track and 16-track recording that Scully came up with a 12-track unit on 1-inch tape, and I remember it being on 12-track. I wish I had those masters somewhere. And Bob Margoloff was the engineer on that. Bob Margoloff, the following year, as Bob tells the story, he did a electronic album with Malcolm Cecil named Tonto's Expanding Headband. And Stevie Wonder was so impressed with this, he tracked down Bob Margoloff. And one morning, Bob Margoloff had a knock on his door. And who was there but Stevie Wonder saying, "Bob Margoloff?" Bob Margoloff goes, "Yes, I'm Stevie Wonder. I want you to produce my next record." So Bob Margoloff and Malcolm Cecil started working with Stevie at Media Sound in that same studio where we did those demos that later on, almost 8 years later, I would be working with the Ramones on I Want to Be Sedated.
Wow.
Yeah. Also, I can pat myself on the shoulder. I played that fabulous one-note guitar solo in the middle of that song. And I did it in the spirit of Neil Young's Cinnamon Girl. And I also did it in the spirit of the Young Rascals. Who was the keyboard player in the Young Rascals?
Oh, man, I would have to Google it.
Why can't I remember that right now? Oh, dear, I'm so embarrassed. No. But he used to, Felix Cavalier, of course. Felix Cavalier, and when he would do his solos, he would always put one hand up in the air. So since it was a one-note solo, and it was on an open E string, as I was playing it, I recall playing the solo and sticking my hand up in the air. Yes, indeed.
And it's funny that, you know, when people think of the Ramones, they don't think of Neil Young. I mean, you don't usually put the two and two together, but of course your influences are far and wide. Most musicians listen to everything.
Yeah, and listen to Neil stuff. I mean, it's quite simple. I mean, people say that the Ramones only, play three chords. There are more than three chords, and those songs are a little difficult to play. I actually have to, I'm playing 20 of them on May 19th at the Joey Ramone Birthday Bash at the studio at Webster Hall in New York City, and I have to learn 20 Ramone songs from, we're doing 40th anniversary reissues for Leave Home and Rocket to Russia this year.
Who's singing? Who's singing?
We'll be having different
singers.
Different singers, yeah. Well, it'll be a house band. We're having a Clem Burke from Blondie will be playing drums. Yeah. Richie Ramone's playing drums. CJ Ramone will be playing bass. Andy Chernoff from the Dictators will be playing bass as well. And there's a few other people. I don't know exactly who's singing yet, but I do have the list of songs. So I've been practicing. And believe me, those songs are not easy to...
deceptively simple. Yeah. You've got to get everything really tight and nice.
Yeah.
It's not messy music. Mm-hmm. Why are you here, Ed?
Yes, sir. Why am I here?
Yes.
Oh, I'm here because I am taking over the airwaves of KX93.5 FM in Laguna Beach for a little bit of a donation time.
Pledge drive.
That's it. Pledge drive. I can never remember these things.
Yeah, it's all right.
Mind it. Yeah. Yes, and you can make a tax-deductible donation to KX93 on my behalf in two ways. Call now at 949-715-5936. Take your pledge on the air or go online to kx935.com and choose your pledge amount and select my name, and I won't get a kickback, I promise you.
Well, there'll be people listening to this that know you but don't know the station because they're out of town or across the world, I would think.
That's true.
And if they don't know about KX93.5, let me tell you, we hark back to the golden age of radio. It's personality-driven shows, a lot of community radio in the evenings. So think of like stations like WFMU, in New York, and at its heyday. We have local bands and bigger name bands every day, live in the studio, and we play local music four times an hour through the day. So local bands really get pride of place and are played right. You know, you play right next to a Ramones track and see if it stands up. So that's what we do all day long. But we're a non-profit and we need the kindness of strangers and friends to keep us going. So please do donate at kx935.com. Or if you're in the area, 949-715-5936, to talk to Ed Stasium, who recorded some of the greatest music in rock and roll history. Who have we got next?
Well, we're going to do a little the Jeff Healey group. Jeff Healey, as you well know, Jason has a funny look on his face.
Yeah, yeah, because it's not the next one on the list, but I found
it.
No, it's not.
No, I'm skipping around here.
It's all right.
I'm skipping around. I'm messing with you, man.
It's okay, I got it.
I'm messing with you.
I got it.
I can text you.
Listen, we've just recorded a record together, and I messed with you the whole time.
You did, indeed. You did. Yes. I've always been a huge Beatles fan, way back in the day. I was actually playing guitar before Beatles came around, but when they did hit, I was enthralled and very impressed with them and started learning their songs and playing along. And I did have the opportunity, in a way, to work with George Harrison, and that was on the Jeff Healey record. Now, I didn't work with him personally, but we did a cover of While My Guitar Gently Weeps, which is a fantastic cover. Jeff sings it great and plays some great guitar stuff. But a friend of Jeff's, Michael Kamen, it was mentioned to him that we were doing the cover, and he mentioned it to George. And George says, well, perhaps I can do something on it. So George called me up. I actually talked to him on the phone, and I asked him to do some acoustic guitar and some backing vocals. So they were doing a Traveling Wilburys record at the time, I believe. It was 1990. I know he was working with Jeff Lynne at the time, and Jeff Lynne and George played acoustic guitars and sang some background vocals on this particular track. And Paul Schaefer from The Letterman Show played piano and Hammond organ on this track as well. And it's a great little track, so why don't we give that a listen.
Well, I look at you all.
Jeff Healey Band from 1990, While My Guitar Gently Weeps, George Harrison song. As I mentioned, George, big fan of the guy, got to speak with him on the phone. It was fantastic. My favorite George Harrison song is actually a nice little number from one of their earlier records entitled If I Needed Someone, which starts off with a lovely Rickenbacker 12-string guitar. And it still is outstanding in its ways. And maybe we could just plop that on for a second. Beatles off of Rubber Soul, If I Needed Someone, a George Harrison song. And this is Ed Stasium, and I am taking over the airwaves here on KX 93.5 FM. And you can make a donation to the show. It's tax deductible. You can call now at 949-715-5936. Take your pledge on the air, or please go online to kx935.com. Choose your pledge amount. Select my name. And please be generous with your donation. Well, speaking of 12-string guitars, which I've always been enthralled with, we have a special guest in the studio here who just happened to walk in because he is a Laguna resident, indeed. And his name is John Hall, and he is here from Rickenbacker Guitars. He's a good friend of mine and Jason's. And why don't you tell us a little bit something, John, about the 12-string and how did George Harrison get a hold of one?
Well, thank you guys for inviting me down. Actually, it was really kind of a strange circumstance in that my dad flew back to New York City and set up a small display for the Beatles in March of 64. And included in the little array of instruments was a 12-string guitar. The Beatles minus George Harrison showed up at the hotel suite along with Brian Epstein, their manager, and they had some fun trying out all of the different instruments. John picked up the 12-string guitar, played it a little bit, and said, okay, this is just amazing. George has got to see it. The reason George wasn't there is he was back at the Plaza Hotel, sick in bed with a cold. So he said, we have got to show this to George somehow. We've got to do that. So my dad went down and found through the bellman that there was a back entrance to the hotel that they were at, the Savoy. And I guess that entrance was underground and came out in Central Park. So my dad, three of the Beatles, Epstein, my mom, and the guitar, ended up, they walked across the Central Park back to the Plaza Hotel and let George sit in bed and strum this guitar for the first time.
Fantastic. Love that. What a great story. Indeed. Why don't we have another 12-string based tune, a song by The Byrds, and that would be a little number called 8 Miles High. Eight Miles High, The Byrds. Fantastic 12-string playing by Roger, or Jim McGuinn, whichever he's going by these days. He kind of changed his name a while back. John, I hear tell that Mr. McGuinn was inspired by George Harrison, his 12-string playing, to start The Byrds.
Roger was very much a fan of the Beatles. He'd seen... Hard Day's Night, and just absolutely loved the 12-string guitar. Sold off a couple of his instruments, went down to a music store in L.A. and bought that guitar specifically because of George Harrison.
Wow. And were the Byrds, do you know the story, were they together previously before McGuinn had that 12-string, or did he start the Byrds with the 12-string in his hand?
My recollection is that they had been together for a period of time, because conversely, the Beatles were big fans of the Byrds.
Yes.
And when I was at the Beatles' house in L.A. in summer of 65, all of the Byrds were there, hanging out with the Beatles and having a great time. They were big fans of each other.
Yeah, because the Byrds, McGuinn's sound was so distinguishable. And as soon as that thing came on the radio, it was like, whoa, that is a fantastic chimey belly sound. Whoa.
Well, you have to remember, Roger was a banjo player previously.
I did not know that.
And as a result, he always used finger picks, and he plays an electric 12-string pretty much in the same fashion that one plays a banjo.
Does he use finger picks with his...
Absolutely.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
No wonder it sounds so chimey and bell-like.
Yeah, and he uses a thumb pick as well.
Wow.
People that are listening that don't know about guitars probably don't know that. In rock and roll, I'll tell you something. You go to the NAMM shows, the big musical instrument festival every year, and there are thousands of types of guitar. But anybody who plays in a rock and roll band knows there are only three kinds of guitars. There are, you can make a guitar, electric guitars anyway, for sure. People are always trying to make the next great guitar. But really, in the history of rock and roll, there are three guitars. There are Fenders, Gibsons, and Rickenbackers. The great thing about Rickenbackers is still made in the United States, made round here,
Made in Santa Ana.
And it's a family company. And when you go, my experience is you go to the offices and it just looks like your Uncle Sid's factory. It looks like a working place where people do work. It's not full of like onyx and marble and, gold toilet paper.
Well, thanks, guys. Actually, our whole thing is that we consider it a work of art as opposed to a product. And fortunately, my employees tend to think that way. They're making art, not a consumer product.
Fantastic.
Well, if you're looking at a rock and roll band, and, to the untrained eye, all guitars look alike, except for Rickenbacker. If you're looking at a band and you're seeing a guy and he's playing a guitar that doesn't look like, that just looks like a beautiful, work of art, it's probably a Rickenbacker. That's my take on it. So can I have a guitar, please? Oh, no, I've already got one. Thank you. What are we going to play next?
I've been... working with a San Diego band called Varigolds, and actually this song called Walk on the Water features a Rickenbacker 12-string in the solo section.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Okay,
give it a listen. The Varigolds from San Diego. Check them out.
Listen to you. You're such a pro.
Walk on the water and you show me your bones. Seem to remember why you came alone. Remember why you came.
is Ed Stasium at KX93.5, Laguna's only FM station. Please make a donation. It's tax deductible. And you can call now at 949-715-5936. We'll take your pledge on the air, or go online to kx935.com and choose your pledge amount and select my name, Ed Stasium, Eduardo Stasium. Yes, indeedy. I want to thank Jason and Tyler here at KX93 for having me here, and also to John Hall from Rickenbacker for paying us a little visit and giving us a little 12-string talk about the Birds and the Beatles, two of my favorite bands. So I think we could go on out with one of my favorite tunes from a band called Living Color. One interesting little mention I'd like to say about Cult of Personality is that originally we wanted to use, in the beginning of the song, Free at Last, Free at Last, Thank God Almighty We Are Free at Last. But Coretta Scott King would not let us use that. She didn't want that on a record. So in lieu of using Martin Luther King's quote, we used Malcolm X in the beginning and saying, in the few minutes that we have left, et cetera, et cetera. So I think it's a better intro to the song than the Martin Luther King, but we actually had it on the mix and had to take it off and put on Malcolm X instead of Martin Luther King.
Well, I want to thank you and acknowledge you both for just being here and being great supporters of the station. So appreciate it. And, you know, you guys are you've become the elder statesman. But you didn't expect that to happen, you know, of the rock and roll.
Boy, that's for sure. Business.
Yeah.
But obviously the music speaks for itself and the quality of the instruments and all of that. So it's great having you here, guys. It's KX Takeover on KX93.5. We're actually winding down. Got a couple more guests over the next couple of hours. And then that's it, back to normal programming. I will be back on the air with Daily Scramble Live first thing in the morning, 7 o'clock, here on KX93.5. Thanks again, you guys.
And during the few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand. The cult of personality. I know your anger, I know your dreams. I've been everything you wanna be. Oh, I'm the cult of personality. Like Mussolini and Kennedy, I'm the cult of personality. The cult of personality, the cult of personality.